I don't get a chance to preach. I just feel bad. I need to sit in here preaching. By the way, be here Tuesday morning. You'll hear some good preaching. These men that have younger men that are coming up. That'll be good for us to hear them and listen to what they have to say. Now the preacher had to beg me to get me here to come. He said, he called me and said, "Brother Roy, will you?" And I said, "Yes." I like to be here. I like to come here. It's refreshing. Every church isn't like this church. And a little excitement here. I know some of you got to be careful about that. You got those, what do they call those? Pacemakers, yeah. Turn that thing down a little bit so you don't get too excited now. We don't want anybody dropping. Although I'd love to die in the pulpit. I've said that for years. It'd be a great place to die. While you're preaching, just die and just go to be with the Lord. And I was, we were someplace the other night, and one of our dear friends died preaching down in, I think, in Springfield, Missouri. Jimmy Strickland, he was a missionary to Argentina. About my age, and that's 70, none of your business. And he was just preaching and just keeled over. They tried to. Now, I don't want any of you guys trying to give me that mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, no. Some young pretty lady want to do it, that's all right, but I don't want any of you guys doing it. I'm not that kind. In fact, my pastor up at Cleveland Baptist Church, Brother Folger, is preaching tonight on the gay movement because they're so proud in Cleveland. They got the 2012 or 2014 gay games coming into Cleveland. And that'll be right downtown next to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All goes together. All that stuff goes together. So you pray for him as he preaches that tonight. So I have been in some churches recently. You know, we get, when you're an evangelist or a missionary, you get in some churches maybe you wish you hadn't gotten into. And they kind of wish you weren't there. And I don't know how it happened, but this was real rock and roll, baby. And I'm glad I'm not there. I'm here tonight in this church where they have Sunday school, where they preach the Bible, where they sing every song about Jesus. That's wonderful to know. And they preach about Jesus in every service. That's good to know. It's all about Jesus. I have an evangelist friend. He's a mutual friend. In fact, Pastor just spoke to him recently, and I just talked to him yesterday. Dr. Al Lacey, he's on the other side of the mountain over in Colorado. And anymore, his doctor won't let him go. Well, I don't care what my doctor says. I just went over and held a revival in Ireland. And my doctor says, don't go. I have leukemia. And so it's just, I'm just going to die from it or with it or whatever they say. But I had a good meeting over in Ireland with a young man from our church. Brother Pittman is over there. And we had a good meeting. My wife was with me. So I have the right book. This church has the right book. I don't have to spend the first three or four nights trying to get you to believe the right book. You already believe it. I want you to know this. I don't correct this book. This book corrects me. And I don't judge this book. This book judges me. And I don't change this book. But bless God, this book has changed me. And I don't criticize this book, but this book criticizes me. I don't find fault with this book, but this book finds a whole lot of fault with me. And I don't question this book. This book questions me. Dr. Al Lacey, whom I was just referring to a while ago, used to have a little business card he'd give out. And on his card gave his name and address and his ministry, and then it says, see if I got it written down here. I can't read it anyways. Can't see. It says, Jesus is the answer. Now what's your question? Do you get that? Jesus is the answer. Now, what's your question? Doesn't matter what it is, the answer to your problem is in this book somewhere. And in Jesus Christ. So you can't do anything well if you do it with a casual attitude. If you're casual about this book and casual about your Christianity, you're not going to get very much done. But we need to let this book rule in our lives. Now, I will talk to you about Jesus tonight, if you don't mind. And if you do, I'm going to talk to you about him anyway. John chapter 19, the Gospel of John chapter 19. I suppose if I had to be locked up somewhere and I could only have one book in the whole Bible, there are 66 books, but if I could only have one, it'd be the Gospel of John. Boy, it's wonderful. So let me read some verses here in John chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hand. Imagine that, slapping Jesus. I'd like to kiss his feet. I'd like to touch him. Can you imagine a man, a human being, slapping the Son of God? Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, it's so good to be in this place tonight. There are people traveling hundreds of miles to be in a place they ought not to be, and to be with people that they shouldn't be with, and doing things they shouldn't do. But I'm glad to be here tonight. I can't think of any other place that would be better than to be with God's people, singing the songs about our Savior, preaching about him, thinking about him, talking about him, loving him. What a great opportunity we have tonight to leave this place happy, joyous, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless this service tonight. Bless the Monday night service. If Jesus tarries his coming, bless the Tuesday morning fellowship and the Tuesday night meeting. And then, Lord, an opportunity to preach to young people Wednesday morning. I'll look forward to that. God, give me the right message for those people. And then Wednesday night, the close of the revival. Again, if Jesus tarries his coming. If not, we will be gone. The world will be left to the devil and his cohorts if Jesus comes. We'll be with him, and we long for his coming. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But while we have breath to breathe, while we have a mind to think, while we have a voice to speak, help it to be about him. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your salvation. And I pray if there's someone here tonight that's never been saved, a young child, a teenager, a man or a woman, a grandma or grandpa, someone who has never known Christ in the forgiveness of sins, may they come tonight and trust him, Lord. And we'll praise you for all you do. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. I want to talk to you about Christ being contrary. You know, usually when you use that word, you use it in a negative or a bad sense. Contrary, you mean, is he contrary, against everybody and everything. He's hard to get along with normally. That's not true of the Savior, but there's another meaning. About his life and about his being, he was contrary to everything that was natural in this life. In other words, he was born contrary to the laws of nature. No one here tonight has ever been born without a mother and a father. Now, you could have been born illegitimate. You could have been born without a marriage taking place, but you cannot be born without a mother and a father. Jesus was born of a virgin. Now let me tell you a little bit about that, because in modern Christianity, we're getting away from the great doctrines of the Bible. And we're dealing with things, some things need to be dealt with about family and home and so on. But we're getting away from the real purpose of preaching the Word of God, to expose the great doctrines of Christianity. Beginning with the creation, by the way. You young people that are here that don't have the opportunity to attend a Christian school, or you've already gone through and now you're in a secular college, you know that you're being bombarded with things that are contrary to this Bible. In fact, they are laughing at you, if not outwardly, behind your back, that you would be so foolish to believe in a doctrine such as the virgin birth, or to believe in the creation of the world and all that there is made by God and not evolutionary forces. But Jesus Christ was born. He lived in heaven with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit from all eternity. But he came to this earth of his own free will to provide salvation for fallen mankind. We are all sinners. The best person, you know some good people that live in Ravenna, I'm sure. You know some good people that live in Streetsboro, live in Kent and other cities about here. Good people, I mean, as far as they're nice, they're honest, they're decent. They've never been in jail. They're not thieves. You don't have to worry about them breaking into your home. You don't have to worry about them molesting your children. There's some good people like that. Thank God for them. But they're not going to heaven because they're good. Because their goodness doesn't outweigh their badness, you see. We were born into sin with a sinful nature. Our fathers sinned, our mothers sinned, our grandparents sinned. So we know that. It's in our bloodline. I got a disease that's killing me. We all do, by the way. Don't feel sorry for me. You've got disease in your body you probably don't even know about, and eventually it will kill you. All sickness and all disease, sooner or later, is fatal. Old age is a disease. I hate, you know. I'll tell you one thing. Getting old is not for sissies. Brother, let me tell you, you better toughen up if you're going to live for a while. But they tell me I have a disease, leukemia. It's in the blood. It's not cancer in other parts of the body. I've had cancer in other parts of the body too, but leukemia is in the blood. And it makes your cells stupid. That's what it is. You've got cells in your body, white blood cells, red blood cells, so on. And it makes your white blood cells so ignorant that they don't know, they don't have enough sense to eat up your good cells. That's really what leukemia in a layman's term is. And so you wind up with no white blood cells, but blasts, they call it, and the white blood cells is what fights the disease in your body. So anytime I get a bad cold, I'm in danger of dying. or if I get this thing you're talking about here, the kid's got the flu. Do they have the H1N1? Yeah. So probably if I get that, it'll do me in. They say, of course, I didn't get this when I was past 70. I was living in Canada, and they said, well, you're too old to survive this. And they said, if you survive, it'll come, it goes into remission, comes right back. So they treated me as if it'd be all right, and sure enough, I went into remission. Then I've come out, and I went through that chemotherapy again, and I'm in remission, and I'm out again. So it's an in-and-out process, and it's just a time. But I've already lived 6 years past what God promised me, so I have no complaint. Like the fellow says, don't try to threaten me with heaven. Don't you know that you'll die and go to heaven? Oh, that'd be an awful thing, though. But the blood, even if you don't have leukemia, your blood is infected. You don't have pure blood. You have blood that is filled with sin, and you got it from your father, and he got it from his father, and his father, and his father, right back to Adam. So the whole human race is infected, and you are a sinner because your body is nourished by sinful blood. So when God sent His Son in a human body that the Holy Spirit created in the virgin womb of Mary, got no blood from its Father, got its blood from the Heavenly Father. That's why the Bible talks about His precious blood and sinless blood and costly blood. There is no blood like it. And He shed that blood for your sins. But now you got to understand that He had to be born contrary to the law of nature. The law of nature gives you a mother and a father, gives you sinful blood, gives you a sinful body, and because of that, in that condition, you will die and go to hell. Every man and every woman that's above the age of reason, that has an opportunity to know and be saved, and turn that down, they'll be lost and they'll die and go to hell. Now, He was born contrary to the laws of nature, so He could offer a sinless sacrifice. See, I could have died for you. People do it. It's an amazing thing. We read stories in the military, especially, of men that die for men. Men that would throw themselves on a hand grenade and give their life to save two or three other men. And they do. They save them physically from death, but they don't save them from hell. Yeah. They can't. Their sacrifice may bring them life in this body, but it cannot bring eternal life. Only the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. So He was born contrary to the laws of nature. Way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, it says, a virgin shall conceive. Now, some of your new Bibles, they want you to understand things more clearly, says a young woman. Well, you can be a young woman and not be a virgin. So they're robbing these people that are coming out with these Bibles. They're robbing you of the great truths of the Word of God. So you need to be careful about it. Just stay with the old stuff, the old paths, the old Bible. And we don't need that, you see. But anyways, we're talking about Jesus, and He was born of a woman, a virgin, without the seed of man. So He had a perfect body, and He had perfect blood, sinless blood. The blood of God, if you please, was in His veins and pays for our sins. Then He not only was born contrary to the laws of nature, this contrary Christ, but He was born and lived contrary to the laws of nature. Huh? Not natural to be older than your mother, is it? Now, Mary was His mother. Humanly speaking, she produced the body through the miracle of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ would come down and live in. So that when He was born, that infant, He was God in the flesh while He was in the womb. and he was God in the flesh. The wise men, by the way, wise men worship him. Not foolish idiots. Wise men worship him. And wise men came, and they were wise enough to know that when they looked at that little infant in the cradle in Bethlehem, that he was God. They gave him deific prizes and presents. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh that was fit only for a king of royalty. They had enough sense to know that. Of course, God provided that for their tickets to Egypt to live when he was going to come and kill the babies. You know, God has, he knows about those things ahead of time. But anyways, he lived contrary to the laws of nature. He's older than his mother. He could control nature. I don't know about you. I've been in some bad storms. And a fella can pray a lot easier when he's in danger. When he's in danger, when he's facing death, he can pray a lot easier. It's a lot easier to pray up in an airplane when you get in a storm. I don't know if you ever do much flying. I'm going back to Europe next month for meetings in Slovakia and Hungary. And that is if the leukemia doesn't get me. But you know, you get up there about 35,000 feet in the air, and you're riding along, it's kind of smooth, watching a little television, reading a paper, having a meal, and then all of a sudden you run into turbulence. Yes. We had it going over this time. We hit the tail end of that hurricane out in the Atlantic, and boy, that just shake that old plane. Like, it's easy to get spiritual. It's easy to pray and say, Lord, get us through this storm. Jesus just spoke to the storm. He got on the ship, and the ship was rocking, and the disciples were afraid, and they're going to die, and he just said, peace, be still. Now, we need to talk to God, but he could talk to the storm. He lived a life where he hated those that, he loved those that hated him. Now, come on, don't give me your smiles and your smug look. You know when you're mad at somebody, and sometimes you hate them. It's natural. It's the most natural thing in the world. If people treat you bad, to treat them bad back. But that's not the way to win them to Christ. The way to win them to Christ is to heap coals of fire on their head by doing good. When they say bad to you, you say good to them. When they do bad to you, you do good to them. That's what Jesus did all the time. You search this Bible from cover to cover, and you read in history anything you want to, you'll never find where Jesus ever spoke a bad word or ever said, I hate you, or ever said, you're no good. He just loved them. He loved them to himself because he was the contrary Christ. He died contrary to the law of death. You know, if you read in John 10, 17, 18, the Lord, when he died on the cross, they couldn't kill him. You know that, don't you? They couldn't kill him. He said, I lay down my life. I take it up again. That's contrary to the law. When we want to kill somebody, pretty easy to do it. They're doing it every day all over the country, shooting or hanging or bludgeoning to death. People, they're crazy. This world has gone absolutely mad. And everything we do, we think we got the answer. Well, we'll just build casinos in Ohio now. They got them all over the country. And if you study, if you're interested enough to read, you'll find out that those places that have them have more crime than they ever had. More poverty than they ever had. Who do you think makes the money? One guy makes it and 10,000 lose it. And usually it's people who can't afford to lose it. And their children go hungry because of it. So if you would play the games and win, you're taking food out of poor children's mouths. There's not, gambling is nothing but evil and wrong. And so this business in our country, he lived contrary to the law of death. He couldn't die on the cross. You know, it's marvelous that he ever made it to the cross. No other man could suffer as he suffered. Do you know, you don't have to have an illness to die. You can grieve yourself to death. People grieve themselves to death. Even a dog, even a pet, many times when their owner dies, will grieve himself to death. And when Jesus went to the cross, he went with the sins of the whole world upon him. I was mentioning my wife this morning, driving through town. I preached at another church this morning in Cleveland. And driving past all these houses, and people weren't up, people weren't at church. Small percentages go to church. And I said, honey, behind every house, there's grief. There's grief in every one of those houses. Husband came home last night drunk, abused his wife, abused his children, left them hungry. A woman cheated on her husband. Children are in trouble with the law, and they're on drugs, and they're on everything's going wrong. The whole world is just falling apart. And the grief, you can just think about it, and you can feel overwhelmed and overloaded with grief. Just from the people in your neighborhood, you know. Just from people that you know. Just from people in your family. You can be killed. Well, Jesus took all of that grief, all of it, and put it on himself. I mean, you've heard, you've read, you know, if you watch television, men that have killed dozens of women, molested them and killed them, and finally brought to judgment. But do you think that man had a mother and a father? Can you imagine how they feel when they find out a Jeffrey Dahmer was what he was? Can you imagine? That's just one case. And this goes on all over the world, all night long, every night, every day, for 6,000 years. And Jesus took all of that guilt and put it upon himself. Yes. And is it any wonder that he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even unto death? But he didn't die. They beat him. They bludgeoned him. The blood covered his face. The Bible says he didn't even look like a human being. And he took all of that sin, all that punishment, but he didn't die. He did not die until he gave up the ghost. Willingly, he gave up his life. He died contrary to the laws of death. You know, if you take all the blood out of my veins, I'll die. If you shoot me, I'll die. If you beat me, I'll die. But he could not die. He is life eternal. He is life inherent. And he had to give his life willingly for me. And he did that on the cross, contrary to the laws of death. He arose contrary to the law of the grave. Nobody goes in the grave and comes out. They're all there. I've buried in my ministry in Cleveland, I've buried over 750 people. And not one of them has come out. They're all still there. And when I go, I'll stay there until the day of resurrection. Amen. But they're all gone. They're in the grave. But he was only there 3 days, 3 nights. He came out by his own power. He was contrary to the law of the grave. The law of the grave says, you go, you stay. You know, the devil enjoys, the Bible says, destroying your flesh. I know it's not a pleasant thing to talk about. I don't like to think about it. But one day them old wormies are going to get you. They're going to be crawling out your ears and your eyes and your nose. They're going to eat up the flesh. They're going to eat the flesh and destroy you. The bones will be left, and they'll rot to the dust of the earth. Contrary to the law of the grave, he came out. You know, the devil has always hated Jesus and fought against Jesus. And I've kind of conceived of an idea the day he died on the cross and they put him in the tomb. Mr. Death guarded the tomb, guarded the body. I've got him. I've defeated the Son of God. His body is here. He's dead. and I'm going to watch it rot and decay. And the devil would come by and say, Mr. Death, is he still there? And he said, yes, I've got him. Don't worry. He's in my grasp. He cannot get out of here. And the second day he came, and the third day he came, and Mr. Death was cowering over in the corner and said, where is he? He just got up and walked out. The resurrection day. Did you hear the song? Did you listen to the words? The resurrection day. And one day, those bodies that they buried, our bodies that have rotted and decayed, the bones have gone to the dust of the earth. One day God's going to sound the trumpet and we'll come out. Yeah. That seed that was buried, and he will give me a body like his. Woo! I mean, what a no good for nothing body this is. He's going to give me a body. I'll never be sick. Amen. Never be tired. I don't mind going through. I'm just so tired. Now, you ought to be glad for that. I'm not going to preach long tonight, nor any night, because I get tired. I mean, when I preach three times on Sunday now, I'm just wiped out because that weakens your body. This old flesh, just as you get older, it's just normal and natural that you get weak and you get tired and you get weary. Not in that new body. I'll run and play. Never have to go to bed. Never be any night. Never be any sickness, sorrow, death, pain, none of that. I'll be like him, with him forever, with my family, with my loved ones, with friends, with people who love Jesus, not hate him. The thing I hate about this world is this world hates Jesus. Now, you can say God all you want. Ever since 9/11, God's okay. But they don't like Jesus. They hate Jesus. But I got news for you. Jesus is God. Amen. Jesus was God. Amen. Jesus always has been God. Yeah. Jesus is God. Now, Jesus always will be God. Yeah. And he'll give me a body like unto his own. He came out of the grave. And he ascended contrary to the law of gravity. You know, we have laws. We have laws. We call natural laws. Now, the law of gravity is one. I guess that's what about flying an airplane. See, you're defying the laws of gravity. We're not supposed to be able to fly because the plane weighs more. There's aerodynamics I've studied, and I used to be a pilot myself, and I know about those things, but it just doesn't make any sense. Even though you know the ruling, it doesn't make any sense. But you can't fly. If you think you can fly, go jump off the Empire State Building and see how well it works. It won't work. It'll splatter you all over whatever street is there, you see. But he came out. He came out of the grave. He met his disciples outside of Jerusalem, and he talked with them, and he indoctrinated them, and he empowered them. And then it says a cloud came down, and he just stepped on it, and the cloud took him. And those guys were just standing there. They just couldn't believe it. Nothing. They'd never seen anything like that. Yeah. And up and up and up and up and up he went. He defied. He arose and defied the law. Contrary to the law of gravity, he went up. Amen. And the Bible said he's coming back. Yep. The same way that he went up. He saved souls contrary to the law of men. Yeah. All religions. All religion. Christianity is not a religion. Bible Christianity is not a religion. Religion is superstition. And all religions demand that you must pay for or work for your ticket to heaven. You cannot get there on the merits of someone. All religions. Every church in this town, if they don't believe in salvation by the grace of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ, are a man-made religious church, and they're not going to heaven. I don't care if they're the best friends you got. If they believe they're going to get there on their own goodness, they're not going to make it. All religion that is of man defies the law of God, and the law of God, the law of salvation, what Jesus preached is contrary to the law of man. And then finally, amen. Finally, because I'm tired, because I'm weak, because I'm worn, because I don't know how long I can stand. Finally, he's coming again, contrary to the law of reason. See, we don't believe that this world can be straightened out except by political processes. And man, we're finding out more and more every day. With all of our advanced knowledge and education and scientific advances, we're worse off than we ever were. We are worse off than we ever were before. And the only thing that's going to straighten this world out and save this world is the coming of Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus Christ. And he is coming. I'll talk about it more. I'll probably talk about it a little bit every night because I can't go to bed anymore without thinking about it. You know, you ought to try doing it. I try to do it. I'm not saying that I do it all the time, but I try to do it all the time. The last thing I like to think about before I go to sleep is that Jesus might come while I'm asleep.
Yeah,
and y'all never have any bad dreams that way. In fact, I'm not much of a dreamer. I'm a good sleeper, but not much of a dreamer. And so I just think about that. And then when I wake up in the morning, I have to admit I'm a little disappointed that he didn't come. But then I say, now I'm going to live today as if he were coming today. And that'll help keep you straight, brother. If you thought the Lord was coming, if you get up in the morning, you think the Lord is coming, you'll be a better worker.
Yes, right.
Yeah, you ought to be. You ought to be a good worker. If you work for somebody and they pay you a wage, you ought to be the best worker they've got.
Amen.
That's your testimony.
Amen.
That's everything. The way you live, the way you talk, the way you dress, the places you go, the people you know, the things you do, all of those things are our testimony. We are an epistle to be known and read of all men. Most people that live in this city and these cities around about here, most of them never read a Bible. Oftentimes, many Christians don't just when they go to church. But Paul said, you are our epistle known and read of all men. They watch you. They say, man, that guy's different. They may say he's odd. They may say he's weird. They may say he's peculiar, the Bible uses. We are a peculiar people. All of those things they may say. But he's coming, contrary to the law of reason. He's coming for his own. If you're not saved tonight, and long about the time we're ready to say amen and head for a restaurant or home, get something to eat, what are we going to do? And he came, everybody would be gone. It would happen so fast, you would have no conception of what happened. I mean, just everybody would be gone that's saved. He's only coming. He's coming as a thief. You know, a thief comes quietly and annoyingly to take only the precious things, the costly things. So he's coming as, he's not a thief. He's coming as a thief quietly. He's going to come and just draw everybody up that's saved. That's saved. They'll be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Just think of what this country, you know, we've gone through some pretty bad times, but think of this country would be. All the Christians are gone. I have no conception, I'm not a judge, of how many Christians, but I'll be magnanimous and I'll say 50 million. That would be one out of six. I think perhaps it could be that high, counting the little children. The little children will go up. God's not going to, listen, mother, you don't have to be a theologian to know God. In fact, I think some kids know God better than theologians do. And you don't have to know that to know God. You just be gone. Just be gone. Just be gone. And the little children, you don't think God would rapture you out and leave a little baby behind? Who would care for that little baby? No, I'll tell you who he'll leave behind. He'll leave behind that sorrowful dad. A guy who wouldn't take his family to church, the guy who beat his wife, the guy who neglected his child. And he'll wake up in the morning and they'll be gone. The doors are locked, the windows are closed, the car is still in the drive, but they'll be gone. And he'll never know. But imagine 50 million people gone. Military men, generals, officers. Even some politicians. Small percentage. But they'll be gone. They'll be gone. They'll be gone. Do you know what our court system will be like? Judges will be gone. Prosecuting attorneys will be gone. And people, they'll file papers and want to know. It'll be chaos like you've never heard of before. He's coming for his own. That's all. You can study, we'll talk about it. He's coming for his own, and he's coming to judge those that are left behind. Yes. And he's coming to reign.
Yes.
7 years later.
Yes.
There'll be 7 years of terrible war and famine, hatred and death and disease, people dying. In one period of time, in one short period of time, a fourth of the world's population will be wiped out with disease. You know, they're talking, I don't know, H1N1, we know it's bad, and now they say they've got something for it, and we're going to be able to vaccinate it. They're always saying that, but more diseases are coming up. We find a cure for one. We find a treatment for one, and another one comes up. And I don't know how long we're going to find ways to do it, but it's going to come to the place where a fourth of the world's population is going to die. Did you know, I know I've said this in many places, but I forget where I've said it, but it needs to be said again. The World Health Organization, WHO, who in Atlanta, Georgia, keeps track of diseases and deaths and statistics they give you. They say, I have no reason to believe they're not correct or reason but correct, they say that 35,000 children die every day. Five and under, for lack of food, sometimes just for lack of a vitamin pill, for lack of medical attention, or they're brutalized and murdered. 35,000 a day. Now, thank God they'll go to heaven. But isn't that an awful thing when you think about that? And Jesus is coming to take us out, and then the world. Nobody's going to want to be here. In fact, Book of Revelation says that men will seek death and will not find it. They want to die and won't be able to die, but they'll meet God in judgment. Christ will establish his everlasting kingdom here upon this earth. We'll be with him as the bride of Christ. But joining the church won't get you there. Doing good, being the best you can, won't get you there. That's why we have churches where we preach the gospel. The gospel is good news, and the gospel is simply Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Jesus was buried in a tomb for your sins, and Jesus arose again for your sins. That's the gospel. That's the good news. You accept it, you're saved, you reject it, and you're lost. Please. Be ready for his coming. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I preach a little longer. I don't know what your schedule usually is, but if there is such a thing as a more important time of the service, it's now. This is the most important time of the service. And this is when people start getting ready to go, start closing their books and putting their pens in their pocket and getting their purses together and all of these things. Don't just come on, a couple of minutes. Couple of minutes. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about forever. If you're here today, tonight, in this service, say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I've received Christ, and I know when he comes, I'm ready. I know if I die, I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Put your hand way up high. Put it way up high. Put them way up high. Just say it. Don't be ashamed. All right, thank you. Put them down. Thank you. Thank you. Put them down. Now, almost everybody raised their hand. Maybe one or two or a few. If there's only one, I'd stay all night to win you to Christ. But if you have no desire to be saved, you don't believe anything's been said or preached, well, that's different. But if you're here tonight, say, preacher, I believe the book, and I believe there's a need in my life, and I believe that I'm not ready, but I want you to pray for me. I won't call your name, probably don't know it. I won't embarrass you. But just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Just pray for me. God bless you. Thank you. Maybe there's a child. If you're 10 or 12 or 13, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. The drug dealer's after you. The immoral person's after you. The pornographic crowd is after you. Everybody wants you. I want you. God wants you, though. God wants you for good. They want you for bad. So whether you're a child or a teenager or a young man or woman, say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure. Pray for me. Pray for me. I would like to do that. Just put your hand up high enough for me to see it, and we'll have a word of prayer. Anyone else? Anyone else? Now let me ask you this. These are special meetings, and we'll take a little extra time, not a lot. Say, preacher, I think I'm saved. I believe I am. I've gone through the motions. I made a profession or something. But I'll tell you, it may be school, it may be work, it may be a home situation, but things are tough. Things are tough. I'm having a hard time living for God, having a hard time doing right, and I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up tonight? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Young people, but there's some adults. God bless you. Raise it and put it down. God bless you. Okay. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. I love you. God loves you 10 million times more. I can't make you. I can't do anything for you, really. I can pray for you, but God can. Let's stand together with our heads bowed in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so very, very grateful. We feel the working of the Holy Spirit. We are helpless. We are weak. Oftentimes we can't think of the right word to say. But Lord, I do love you tonight. And I love these people. And I pray for them. They had enough intelligence and enough heart to say, I've got a need. Things aren't right. I'm a Christian, but things aren't right. And then I think there was one or two raised hand, I'm not saved. I pray, dear Lord, in this first service of the revival, we might have results that will be pleasing to you and meaningful to this church. Now, Father, bless us, we pray. Now, keep your heads bowed in prayer, and we're going to sing, play an invitation hymn. And we're not going to stay long unless God directs us. But I think when you know you ought to do something, you ought to do it right away. I mean, the longer you think about it, the longer you put it off, the longer it'll not get done. And if you're not saved, a couple raise your hand. I want you to slip out of your seat, please, quietly. Just come to the front. If you're a lady will meet you. If you're a man will meet you. And we'll show you how to be saved and know it. And know it. And go home rejoicing, as I did as a drunken 19-year-old boy, just dirty, vile. And I got saved that night, and I walked out of that church clean.
Amen.
You'll know it. You'll know it.
Yeah.
Now you're here and you know you're saved, but things aren't right. You need to come and just have prayer about it. You don't ever confess your sins to men.
Right.
They can't do you any good. Just come and talk to the Lord about it. He'll understand. He'll understand. He'll help you. So I think we're playing Just As I Am, and we'll sing quietly and prayerfully just a verse or two of that. I want you to come while we sing.
Just
while we pray and while we sing, God help you to come.
Sh-
shed for me. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. One more verse while we sing.